This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can start with you. Because you started with everything. And that we can acknowledge that again today. Of how important you are in our lives. And then you want us to be important as well, Father. That we're not just another creature, but that you want to call us our child. It doesn't matter how old we are. If we're going to the kiddies' church just now, or if we're remaining over here and we're listening to you, you want to speak to each and every one of us. And Father, I pray that our hearts are open, as what your arms are always open, that we can receive from you, Father. And yes, maybe there are things which happened earlier today or this week which tries to distract us, that we can bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, that we can receive that message, that precious message, what the Holy Spirit wants to bring to us in our hearts this afternoon. Thank you, Father, that you want to be our Father through Jesus. Amen. I spoke about it before the sermon with one or two guys I actually cannot remember, and I said if there was really a year of change, then it was this year, because everything has changed. The routines what we had, the normal ways what we had, it has changed. It doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. Each and every time there's something different. And then each and every week the government comes with other rules and regulations and it changes again. We've had so many changes, and I think we as a generation who are on this earth at the moment, we maybe have experienced the most amount of changes that people ever actually experienced. Because we were so used to it, we were such a type of way of working and thinking, and then the whole thing stopped. Everything changed. And changes always means that you've got to, I should say, you've got to adapt. You've got to learn something new. I didn't know that much about Zoom before Corona started. Skype, I knew a little bit. Then you've got other things like Google Meet and I don't know what. I all had to learn those type of things when you speak to people, because they say, how are we going to meet? Now, normally it was, we will meet over there and have a cup of coffee, but now is, how are we going to meet? It's still a flat screen, but it's another program. And those type of changes are happening. And what is actually happening is that the world is asking, no, actually I must say that the world is telling us we must change. We must work this way now. We must do it that way. Because this is as a result of the circumstances where we are at the moment. This is nearly compulsory. We've got to work that way. So as a result of that, we continuously have got to make decisions. So we've got to decide, are we going to do that? What the president has said this week. Or are we going to maybe say, all right, that's the one option what he's got. Or there are other options. Let me just read the whole statement, not just the headlines of what we see in the newspaper or what we hear over the news. That we have a little bit of a wider look, or even be creative and say, okay, if we can't do it this way, then we maybe can do it that way. Because according to law, you can only have 30 people when you've got a wedding. But we are allowed to have 100 over here when we've got a church service. So if you want to get married over here on a Sunday, then you can invite 100. Trying to be creative. Okay, the whole thing still remains. We've got to keep distance. We've got to keep that into consideration. And if we take a look at the decisions what we've got to make, then the decisions, it's quite easy. If you want to get into the bus or in the train, you've got to put a mask on. There's not much of a decision what you've got to take. But there are other decisions where you've got to think about, and we would say also where you've got to pray about, where you've got to ask for God for guidance. Help me. I've got to take an important decision now. I want to get guidance. And what we seek God's face, and we'll be asking Him, what is it, what He want us to do? But what we're going to talk about today is not about the changes, which are forced down on us, because a lot of things, there's nothing what we can do about it. But we're looking more today on what is actually happening with us as believers. What is the world trying to force down on us, and how are we going to react to that, to those type of changes, what the world is telling us what we have got to do? And I'm going to put them in two categories. The one is things what we've got outside us, which is in the world where we are living in, but that we also have got things which are threatening us from the inside. And I'm going to start with the world first, and then the world, we've got material things, and then we also have got spiritual things. Now, if there's one thing where the world is trying to sell us something, then it is with marketing. And marketing is about it, to try and sell you something. So we are constantly bombarded with marketing. If you actually take a look and see how much marketing is done, it's on the bus stand, it's on the car, you see cars passing by, you see notices over here, you switch on your phone, you see the banners over here and over there. It is just marketing. They just want to sell you as much as possible. So continuously the world around us is trying to sell stuff to us and tell us you've got to do certain things. If you want to be at the right place, where should you go for your winter holiday? What book must you read? What movie should you have a look at? What type of platform must you use for media? And so on and so on. The world is continuously throwing that at you, and you've got to decide, must I do it like that, or am I not going to do it? So there we also come with the decisions that I spoke about just now. So we've got to keep up with the things, because we think it has got to be done. But if we're doing that, if we're trying to keep up what the world is asking us, then there's one thing what we're going to run short of, and that's time. Because we're not going to have enough time to read all those books, to have all those platforms, to be involved everywhere. And you must probably are experiencing exactly the same. Because if I was going to ask, who would like to have 2 or 4 hours per day extra to get your stuff in? And I think all of us are going to raise our hand. Including me, it would be nice. Then I've got some more time, then I can get everything sorted, everything in it. But that's not where it is going about. Spiritual wise, we also get attacks. We are continuously being attacked because we are not popular as believers. We are not seen as popular. We are seen as old fashioned. And we do not get any compliments that we are following God's word, and that we are following God's way. We don't get any compliments about it. They say, but you've got an old book written 6,000 years plus, of 6,000 years it started ago. It's old. Why are you still believing that? There are more books with better results, what statistics is concerned, and so on and so on. And we've got it difficult. If you start a conversation with somebody, let's say about moral values, then you will quickly find out that you have got different bases as what another person has got. I'm not quite sure what the sound is doing, but okay, it's fine. The person is going to talk about it and say, you can decide yourself what the moral value is. But your moral value, you say, okay, you go back to the Bible. You go back to the Bible, and the Bible says over there, you shall not murder. It's quite easy. But if we go to a person with moral, and we talk about moral values, then a person will quickly say, well, you must decide your own. type of moral values. You must have your own way of thinking. You must be able to think a little bit different, and you must be able to do it differently if you want to. And then it is sometimes difficult for us to communicate what it is difficult for us as believers to communicate that with other people, that the moral values of ours are based on the Bible. And then they come, like I said, they said, no, you're old-fashioned. So there we also have got that we are going, that we are in the world, that we are being bombarded, material-wise and spiritual-wise. That's outside. But now I want to talk a little bit about what is actually happening on the inside of the church. What is happening over here? Are we experiencing also that people are making us difficult on the inside? That we've got to be very sharp, and that we've got to take sometimes decisions and say, okay, this I can read, that I cannot watch. And that's what we've got to do. We continuously have got to be busy. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 11, then many false prophets will rise and they will deceive many. So there Jesus is already warning and saying false prophets are coming, and false prophets are going to speak, and false prophets are maybe going to deceive you. And we can read from John, Peter, and Paul, and I'm going to go through some of them of where they are warning us for the false prophets. And one of the things what I always see with the false prophets is that the false prophets or the link with God, with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that one is disturbed. And then they fall back in traditions. They fall back in cultures. They fall back in rituals. Then they rely on that. It was once I was walking in Utrecht and I was talking to a guy, and I think I've mentioned it before. He came out of France. And I said, are you sure you're going to heaven? And then he said, yes. I said, but why are you sure you're going to heaven? And then he said, well, I believe in Jesus Christ and I'm a member of the Catholic Church. Now, I've got to disappoint you. If you're a member of Shofar Church, it's not automatically that you're going to church. You're only going to church if you've got Jesus Christ as your Savior. And this is then where sometimes, unfortunately, people are relying on being a member of a culture, attending church. No, it's a personal relation with the living God. That is going to guarantee you that you've got an everlasting life. In John, we also read about it, about those prophets, those false prophets. And he says over there in 1 John 4, verses 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. It wasn't something new. It was already happening. We already read about those prophets in the Old Testament. It's happening in the New Testament, and we unfortunately have got it each and every day in our lives as well. And then we must probably ask, okay, but give me a definition of what is actually the spirit where we've got to be careful for. And in the next verse, John is giving an explanation. By this you know the Spirit of God. So this is how you know that this is the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So if you're talking to somebody and the person is not testifying that he believes in Jesus Christ and he believes in God and he can be as religious as it can be careful. It's nothing difficult. It's not that you can sit sometimes with people. I've also been sitting with theologians, thick books and all those type of things. But if we come back to the crucial thing, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yes or no? Let me repeat it again. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard was coming and is now already in the world. So John is warning over there that we've got to be careful with people inside the church, that they are threatening us, that they are keeping us busy with ungodly things. Peter's also mentioning it in Peter 2 Peter 2. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to quote one verse out of the last verse out of 2 Peter 1, because that's actually, they made the chapters, they made the verses, but you've got to read the Bible as one long stories. And then you can see the second chapter is actually a continuation of the first chapter. The last verse of the first chapter says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." We heard it last week as well, is that the Bible is coming from God, where God spoke to them through the Holy Spirit. And this is what it is confirming again over here in 2 Peter. "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." So that's what's happening. They're telling stories. They're bringing stories inside the church, and then you get drawn away from God's message. What is happening then? If we read a little bit further on in verse 15 and 16, "They have forsaken the right way and they go and gone astray." This is what's happening with the people. They're gone astray. They move away, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A donkey spoke, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. Where was the prophet going before? The prophet was going for money. He was prepared to prophesy based on money what people were giving to him. And then if money is coming into the church and if money is moving around inside the church, we've got to be careful for that. Verse 17, these false prophets are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, by a wind, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. We read so many times that it is said that we've got to be a source, we've got to be a well, we've got to be a spring of fresh water. But what it says over here, the false prophets, they are wells without water. And then there's a warning at the end of 2 Peter as well, where it says, "For if, after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse than the beginning, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." These people were saved. They knew Jesus Christ. But then it says they were entangled again in the world. And the world was absorbing them again. And we see it. We see people who are in the church, and then they are in the world back again. Then they see, but that is more important for them. Let's have a look what Paul says about the false prophets. 1 Timothy 4, he says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." So at that time they already had irons over there. How they used it, I don't know, but they were searing their conscience with it. "Now the Spirit expressly says," the Spirit refers to the Holy Spirit, "says that in the latter times," that's the time between Jesus' ascension and the second coming of Jesus. This is the time that we're living now. "Some will depart from faith." People are going to walk away from faith. The Greek word which is used for that is apostasy. And apostasy means that you're renouncing your faith. You're walking away from faith. It's not only that we use it in Christianity, it's also used by the Islam people. The Islam people have got a law of apostasy, which means that if you walk away from Islam, they've got a right to kill you, according to that law. In Christianity, it is your own choice. If you want to stay with Jesus, if you decide you want to walk away, it's yours. But like I just now said, that other people are so strict about it that they even have got a law that you should stay then with their belief. Now, how are we going to react to these false prophets? How are we going to react? What are we going to do when we see them, when we hear them, when we are experiencing them? What are we going to do? And then it says, we've got to keep God first. And this is where the title was about as well. It's all about me. It's all about God. It's all about you. And you with a capital then. We've got to put God first. If we put God first, then we can sort out those problems. What the world is attacking us and what the church is attacking us inside the church with false prophets and so on. Because we've got to have a deep, intimate relationship with God. And then we must also allow God into our life. We cannot have a relationship that we're going to spend an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours on a Sunday over here. And then maybe on a Wednesday, once in a month, I quickly pop in or have a screen meeting with a Facebook and or with a small group, and then I'll see it again. Now, if we really have got a relationship with God, then we've got a living relationship with God. Then we are communicating each other with. We're not going to be quiet. Those who are married over here, they will know about it. You cannot keep quiet to your wife for 2 days. She will kill you. But what are we doing with God? We're keeping quiet for 2 days? A week? You're not communicating with him? How can we have a relationship with him? We've got to communicate with him. We've got to put God first. 1 Thessalonians 2 verses 4. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing man, but God who tests our hearts. We've been entrusted with the gospel. God is trusting us with the gospel. For God to send a message out to the whole world that he is God is not difficult. If he could create heaven and earth in 6 days just by speaking, then he can send that message around as well. It's not difficult. But he's using us. He's entrusting us with that beautiful message that God loves them, that we've got to bring that message to the other people. God is entrusting us with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing man. If we are speaking, we're not going to say, okay, let's use nice words to keep the people happy. God's message is very short and sweet. Accept Jesus Christ if you want to have an everlasting life. And we live to please God. We want to please God. And it is happening that we sometimes make a mistake. Then we do not put God first. That we also, at the end of the day, that we say, if I add everything up that went wrong today, it's a whole list. Oh, wait a moment. I didn't start with God. I just got out of my bed, shower, breakfast, work, did went wrong, that went wrong, that went wrong. But if you can just become quiet, get out of bed 5 minutes earlier and start with God, give honor to God for who he is, that he created you, and then ask his blessings for the day. And then you can start the day with him. Then you've got a living relationship with him. We also have got to have a look at our priorities. Because what's happening is, if we haven't got our priorities according to what God is asking us, it's very easy that things are slipping in and stealing time from us. And if it is stealing time from us, if we haven't got enough time, then we take time from where we can get time from to still do what we want to do. And unfortunately, our relationship with God is one of those where we are quite easily take time from to create time that we can visit our Facebook platform or do anything else. And we've got to be careful with that. We've got to have a look at our priorities. Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth." And you must probably say, yeah, it's easy for you. You're a pastor, so you can, on a day in the morning, you can wake up. You don't have to go to work, and you can start the day with God, and you can read the Bible or maybe listen to a song or whatever it is. I still have got to work. Although I'm doing it managing via the internet, but it's still a decision that has got to be taken. Still a decision that I've got to stand up and I've got to start the day. I've got to start the day with God. And that's a decision that will help us with putting up that priority list. And if you're battling, now I'm giving you some practical advice. If you're battling with your priorities, if you say, I've got 24 hours of stuff that I've got to do. If I deduct the amount that I sleep, immediately I'm short of time. Then I'm going to say, take the things which are important in your life. Write them down in a list. And when you're finished with that whole list, then have a look and say, okay, what's really important? Which has got everlasting value? Which means God is first, because that's everlasting. All the others, your work, your family, your husband, your wife, everything at a certain time, it's finished. But we've got to spend time with it. But it cannot be as important as God. And if we take a look at that list, then you most probably will also see there are a few things on there that you say, I actually can live without it. I can do that without it. Delete them. And have a look at that list again. And see if you can squeeze it into your day. Because a lot of time, and it's including me, I'm spending time on things which are not necessary, which are not benefiting either me or God's kingdom, then I've got to delete it. I shouldn't spend time on that. I want to summarize it a little bit. Like I said, changes have become the new normal. Continuously, we've got changes. And as the changes are happening, we also, with a certain expectancy, we are looking forward to changes. We are basically ready for the next change, because we know there was one, there will be another one, there will be another one, and we continuously adapt. But spiritual changes are not there, because God is always the same. And that's something where we battle with in our normal daily thing. We've got to make changes. But God is always exactly the same. Hebrews 3 verses 18. Jesus says over there, Jesus Christ, if it's not Jesus who says over there, it's said over there, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Show me anything in the world which is exactly the same yesterday, today, and forever. It simply doesn't exist. But then the beautiful thing is, that's God. That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They never change. They're always there. They're always exactly the same. And that's the beautiful thing of it, of Christianity, is that God is always the same. The people want to change the God. There are enough people outside writing books and telling you things of God is actually so, and God is so, and God is so, which doesn't correspond with what the Bible is saying. We cannot change God. If anything has got to be changed, we've got to change. If anything has got to be done, if a change has got to be made into the world, we've got to stand in front of the mirror and say, okay, this has got to change in the world. But the first one who's got to change is me. I've got to change first. So it's not that other people have got to change. Most of the time, we've got to change ourselves. We've got to change according to what God wants us to do. And it's all about God. God is our highest priority. It's not that there's anything else which is higher than God. It's difficult because you cannot see God. You cannot, I should say, when you open your cupboard in the morning to get a mug to make yourself a cup of coffee, that's physical, that you can touch, you can feel the heat of the cup, and so on and so on. But God, it's sometimes difficult. But to know, and now I'm saying something which is maybe very difficult for you to actually grasp. If you're laying in your bed and your eyes are awakening, are opening up, can you imagine that God is standing next to your bed and God is waiting for you? And he says, "Are your eyes open, my son? Are your eyes open? What are we going to do today? What are we going to do?" God is excited about us. He wants to spend the whole day with us. And we will most probably say, "Get out of my way. I must get to the shower. I'm too late." But God is continuously with us. Very difficult to understand, very difficult to grasp, but it's happening. But it's us who've got to acknowledge God. And as soon as we acknowledge the presence of God, life is totally different. Majority of my life, I did it my way. Up to the age of approximately 50, I thought it had to be done that way. Till I actually understood. But being a member of the church or going to church is not giving me any guarantee. It's that relationship, what I must have with God. And once that relationship started, and once I could experience the presence of God, and I could hear his voice as well as he was speaking to me, then things started to change. Then a relationship is a relationship. And then you're enjoying it. Then in the morning, the first thing what I can say, "Thank you, Lord, for a new day. I don't know what we're going to do today, but I'm looking forward to it, that your kingdom can come on earth as it is in heaven." And the last thing what I say, after I said, "Sleep well," to my wife, then I say, "Thank you, Lord, for the day. I'm praying for a good night's rest. And I haven't got any problems with sleeping at night. I haven't got any dreams. I haven't got any worries. Because I know the most important thing, and that is God who created heaven and earth." The last verse what I would like to read is the one out of Corinthians 8. "For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords," and that's actually referring to idols. If we come back to the priority list, other gods means that there are other things in our priority list, which are even sometimes above God, because we think they are more important. "If there are so-called gods, if there are so-called idols, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there's one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live." It's all about God. It's all about him. And our lives should be about it. It's easy for me to say. It's a different thing of doing it. But we've got to try and live it out, that God is everything for us. That people around us can hear it. But if we live it out, it also makes a difference in our own life. We can have a smile on our face. People can see we are content. And other people are going to come to you and say, "But Peter, why do you have such a content smile on your face?" Then he can say, "You know what? It's not that my rugby team won yesterday, but I know God, the living God. I know him. That gives me peace." And if Geoffrey is speaking to somebody, somebody won't come and say, "Geoffrey, but why are you spending time with me?" Then he says, "Because God told me to spend time with you." And then it makes a difference in somebody in a person's life. God wants to use us. And God wants us that we should be number one. That it should be all about him in our lives. And all about him means that he is first. And then we slot in the other things till our day is full. And then we stop. We're going to have communion now. Thanks, Geoffrey. We're going to have communion now, and I'm going to invite you, if you're a visitor over here today and you're used to have communion in your own church, feel free to have communion with us as well. We are going to do it that way, that people from that side, they can go first. If you just walk back again and take your seat, then the others can come and take the symbols. But before we're going to take the symbols, I'm going to ask a question. But it's a question which is straightforward. Do you know Jesus Christ? And if you're here today, and if you say, but I do not know Jesus Christ because I've never accepted him as my Savior, I've never put God first in my life, but I feel today the Holy Spirit is speaking to me and I've got to make that decision, then I'm asking you now to raise your hand. If you're the one where the Holy Spirit is speaking to, and if you feel that you've got to make that decision today, that God is going to be number one in your life because you've never made that decision. Today you want to put God first in your life. You want to walk that road with him, that everlasting God, what he wants to be in your life. If it is you, then please raise your hand.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.